Good morning, church. Our Bible reading this morning is from Luke chapter 1, verses 38 to 56. I am the Lord's servant, Mary answered. May it be to me as you have said. Then the angel left her. At that time, Mary got ready and hurried to a town in the hill country of Judea, where she entered Zechariah's home and greeted Elizabeth. When Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the baby leapt in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. In a loud voice she exclaimed, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the child you will bear. But why am I so favored that the mother of my Lord should come to me? As soon as the sound of your greeting reached my ears, the baby in my womb leapt for joy. Blessed is she who has believed that what the Lord has said to her will be accomplished." And Mary said, "My soul glorifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God, my Saviour. For he has been mindful of the humble state of his servant. From now on, all generations will call me blessed. For the Mighty One has done great things for me. Holy is his name. His mercy extends to those who fear him from generation to generation. He has performed mighty deeds with his arm. He has scattered those who are proud in their inmost thoughts. He has brought down rulers from their thrones, but has lifted up the humble. He has filled the hungry with good things, but has sent the rich away empty. He has helped his servant Israel, remembering to be merciful to Abraham and his descendants forever, even as he said to our fathers." Mary stayed with Elizabeth for about 3 months and then returned home. May the Lord bless his word.
What a week we've had. And whatever people's views, there is now a decisive government in the UK and there's a decisive way forward, but we'll all have to wait and see. They say that pastors should never be political, and I'm not going to be political other than to be political, as you will see when we go through this sermon. Now, of course, we all know that on earth there are many governments and there are many different systems of government, and we all know that no system is perfect. Corrector, no system of government or human government is perfect, and we know that. Some of them are much better or seem much better than others, and which is the best, of course, is open to great argument and discussion. And we've gone, a lot of us who are interested in these things have seen all the discussions on all sides. As I've said, they say, do not discuss religion and do not discuss politics. They will divide people, and of course they do divide people. That is true. Religion also and politics also can also bring people together, and they can do. It's just that not all the world believes in one religion and not all the world believes in one political government. Hence, we have the fragmentation. But if everyone had one perfect religion and one perfect government, what a great world it would be. Wouldn't it be a great world? One perfect, holy, true, righteous religion, and then one perfect, holy, and true government on earth would be amazing, wouldn't it? Well, this is where I'm going to be a little bit political and a little bit religious, because the title of my sermon today is Jesus Brings God's Government. And Jesus had a government manifesto. Now, we are, of course, looking at the advent of Jesus' arrival. And we know all about Advent. We had that last week. Jesus has come from heaven. He's arrived on earth to save us from our sins. As my wonderful bracelet says, Christ is the reason for the season. And as Christians, Christ is central to Christmas. Amen. And over the past few weeks, we've seen how Jesus crossed all of the boundaries that human beings put around themselves. He crossed the boundary of heaven to earth. The boundaries he crossed whilst on earth were numerous. And we knew the geographical boundary, the political boundary, the gender boundary. We know all of those things. Jesus was actually a very, very strong religious person, religious leader, and a political leader. Do you look at him like that? Jesus is the ultimate revolutionary figure that the earth has ever seen. We don't like to think of it in that way, do we? Revolution. But this is a revolution for righteousness, truth, and justice. This is a revolution for forgiveness, grace, and mercy. This is to lift up the humble, to bring down the proud, as our reading said. Jesus was highly political and an amazing, great religious person. You know when I mean religious, I mean true religion. You know I mean that. Okay. And the Bible is a simple story. It's a big book. It's a very big book. But it is a simple story. It is a story of paradise lost. When Adam and Eve, in the beginning, they sinned in the garden. They couldn't obey the one law of God. And paradise was lost. They are sent out of the Garden of Eden. God no longer walks with them. They feel shame and guilt, and they run away. And death has come to the earth. But the Bible is about paradise found. When Jesus won everything back for us, for human beings, when he came and he died on the cross, he defeated Satan, he paid the price for sin, and he is the way to everlasting life, if and when we believe. And of course, the bit in the middle of the Bible is all about Jesus winning the war between heaven and hell, good and evil, God and Satan. And we are reminded of this in the famous verse that I've preached on and taught on. Genesis 3:14 says this: the judgment of God on the devil for his part in paradise lost. And this is what God said. So the Lord God said to the serpent, because you have done this, cursed are you above all the livestock and all the wild animals. You will crawl on your belly and you will eat dust all the days of your life. And I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your offspring and hers. He will crush your head, and you will strike his heel. And of course, the story that we've read of Mary going to Elizabeth whilst Jesus is in the womb and John the Baptist is in Elizabeth's womb, this is the moment when this prophecy is starting to come true. Jesus does bring a divide between those of Satan's and those of God. Jesus does bring a divide between people, between the spirit world. Jesus has come to win a war. Amen. And of course, Jesus came to regain paradise for the human race. Having been thrown out of the Garden of Eden, Jesus has won the way for us to be placed into the Garden of Heaven on earth for eternity. Paradise is found in the person Jesus Christ. And our reading is when the prophecy is being fulfilled. The promise in Genesis is starting to happen in real time in Mary and Elizabeth's life. There's an amazing period coming in human politics, and God's government is coming to earth. That's what the tabloids should have said at the time of Jesus. There's a new political figure, there's a new party, there's a new government coming to earth, and it's founded in the person of Jesus Christ. Amen. And in our prophecy, there we have this wonderful picture. Elizabeth is only 3 months away from giving birth to John the Baptist. And there's Mary with Elizabeth. And our reading is this prophecy coming true. It's finally starting to happen in their lives. And of course, Mary is the woman who is prophesied in Genesis. Mary is the woman who carried Jesus in her womb. And Mary is an amazing woman of the Bible. We know that she is humble and she is a woman of great faith. We know that she believed the angel who said this is going to happen. She committed herself to God's plan to bring the Savior into the world through her, a humble woman. A Jewish woman from the line of the King of Kings, or the line of King David, to be precise, and as was her husband Joseph. They were both from the royal line of King David, and you can read that in the genealogies in the Bible. Both Mary and Joseph, descendants of the line of King David from the tribe of Judah, so that Jesus would be known as the Lion of Judah. Amen. The lion, the picture of the one who rules in the jungle, the king, King Jesus, the lion who overcomes the witch and who takes us through the wardrobe of life, through Psalms 23, through death into eternity. Amen. What a great story that was. Anyway, that's my ode to the person who wrote it. Very famous. I'm getting old. It's going C.S. Lewis. Thank you. Amen. Now then, at the same time, Elizabeth is an amazing woman as well. She has an amazing story. She is the one chosen to carry John the Baptist, who would be the announcer of Jesus to the world when Jesus was 30 years old and ready to start his ministry. And the babies knew each other in the womb. As soon as Mary arrived, John moved in Elizabeth's womb, and Elizabeth exclaimed in verse 43, "But why am I so favored that the mother of my Lord should come to me?" And here I can't avoid some of the controversy surrounding the person Mary. On both divides of the religious divide, I can't avoid it. But Mary is the mother of Jesus Christ, the human being. She is not the mother of God, because God does not have a mother. God is eternal, and I have to be clear on that. And because of misunderstandings and false doctrines and dogmas, Mary is often venerated way above her position, but she's often ignored or reduced in her position at the other end of the spectrum. Are you aware of that? In fact, I think this actually is the first sermon where I've actually dared to do some preaching about Mary. Isn't that amazing? Because the traditions in the church, we want to avoid some of these issues, but we can't. Mary is the mother of Jesus Christ, the human being. She's not the mother of God. We mustn't lift her above her station, and we must not reduce her below her station. As we know, religion like politics can separate and divide people. And religion like politics puts forward a number of manifestos made by human minds. But you and I have the responsibility to check them out with the Bible and to decide on the truth. Isaiah 9, 6 to 7, you know this, it states this. "For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders. And he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace there will be no end. He will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing and upholding it with justice and righteousness from that time on and forever." Well, that's a great manifesto. I would have voted for that. Would you vote for that manifesto? Amen. the zeal of the Lord Almighty will accomplish this. And of course, this prophecy, this government coming to earth, being set up by the person Jesus Christ, is starting to be fulfilled. It's embryonic, if you excuse the pun. And it will be fully, fully realized at Jesus' second advent. You know, the thing about setting up government is not everybody agrees with it. Humanity does not agree with the government of Jesus. And he's given us time between his first coming and his second coming to think about it. For every generation to think about the manifesto and to make a decision which way they're going to vote. Are we going to vote Jesus or are we going to vote everything else? And Jesus has left us with an amazing manifesto for humanity to decide on. But there comes a time when that will end. The period of grace as it is known will end. Jesus at an appointed time is coming back to implement his manifesto. For those who believe and have voted Jesus, eternal life. Amen. Vote Jesus today. Now then, we know, actually I went off pat there, I've got my next point was the same point. It says this, we know that man's response was to reject God's government, it was to reject Jesus, and it was to get caught up in little wranglings and religious wranglings, and everybody ended up killing Jesus. We know that. But verses 45 to 55 of our reading is known as the Magnificat, and this is the ode or the song that Mary sang and gave praise to God for. And this is the bit where Jenny realized that it's actually for every woman. It's for every person to receive the words and to glorify God in what he has done. And it starts in verse 46, you might remember it. My soul glorifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior. Amen. You know, we are to worship God in body, soul, and spirit. And here in Mary, we have Mary worshiping God in body, soul, and spirit. Worshiping God by allowing her body to be the vessel for Jesus by faith. And her soul glorifies Yahweh. And her spirit rejoices in God, her Savior. That is Christ the Lord. Mary needed saving like anybody else. She said it herself. She's not a sinless human being. She exclaims here her own need for salvation. All humanity has fallen short of the glory of God. Every single human needs the Savior. And here we have, and I lift Mary up to her proper place. Mary worshiped God in body, in soul, and in spirit. And she was a young woman. You know, amazing. She was a young woman. You can be a mature person as a young person. Did you not know that? You can be a mature Christian having been a Christian for only 3 years. Amen. Mary worshiped God in body, soul, and spirit. God's government is coming to earth. Jesus is the head. He's the king of the government. And he brings his own amazing manifesto to the earth. Mary's song goes on to say that Jesus' government will bring down the proud. He will bring down the rulers. And of course, he will bring down and has already defeated the prince of this world, whom we call the devil. Jesus has already won the battle. He is already, as far as heaven's concerned, king of the universe and king of the earth. As far as the earth is concerned, every human being is still voting, still deciding, until the appointed time when the government comes in reality and the kingdom of God is set up with Jesus as the head. Jesus will lift up the humble. He will lift up the broken. He will lift up those who realize they need a Savior. Those who are humble and broken in heart. I cannot save myself. I cannot keep any law. I know that I'm a sinner. I need Jesus the Savior to set me right in this earth and into eternity. God will lift up the humble, broken-hearted person. And what that really means is those who know they need Jesus as their Savior. And there's always that brokenness when we come to know the Lord. We call it an act of repentance, an act of true acknowledgement that I've messed up. I was in a pit, but now Jesus has lifted me up and set me high on a rock. Blessed be to the Lord. So he lifts up the humble of heart who acknowledge their need for a Savior. Jesus will feed the hungry for God. He feeds his people with spiritual food, but the materially rich focused on this world, they will be sent away. That's the picture. That is the picture. Jesus is not against rich people at all. He's not against millionaires and billionaires or anything. He's not against the rich. But if that's all they're hanging on to, if that's all that their focus is on, then actually they're not going to be in the kingdom. They will not be in the kingdom. It's not about being materially rich that counts. It's being spiritually rich in knowing Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. And we read there that Jesus has, he has helped Israel, he has judged Israel, he's lifted her up and he's crushed her to bring her back to himself. He's always shown mercy, and he will be merciful to Israel again, as you know, I believe, in the end times. But he will be merciful to all true descendants of Abraham, and that is those who believe in God through faith. We can only become Christians by faith, believing in Jesus Christ and what he has done for us. Because God's government has come to earth in a person, Jesus Christ the Lord. Jesus is the greatest political and religious figure the world has ever known. And I can prove that. At Jesus' birth, you remember, just to be Christmassy, you're okay with a bit of Christmas. Is this a serious sermon? Is this too political or too religious? Are you okay? Tell me what you thought of it at the end. At Jesus' birth, there weren't three wise men. The Bible says the wise men came. The Magi came from the east. There could have been quite a caravan of them. But they came specifically to Jesus to give gifts to the newborn king, the head of the government, the head of a new political and religious party that was being formed on earth. And what did they bring him? You know what they bought him. First, they bought him gold. We could do with a few of those bars, couldn't we? That would sort out the floor. First, gold. Gold is a gift of kings. Gold symbolizes that Jesus is a king. But the symbolism of gold in the context of the Bible goes much further and much deeper than that. Because gold is a picture of the Holy of Holies in the temple. Did you know that? Yes, we've got some nodding heads. The Holy of Holies was the place in the temple where God was said to dwell. The inner sanctuary with the Ark of the Covenant that contained the Ten Commandments, which is the law of God, and a mercy seat made up of the angels was on the lid of the Ark. That picture alone shows the humility of Jesus, that mercy sits above the law. The law judges every human being to death, but the death of Christ brings mercy to every human being who would believe. Mercy is above law. Praise God for that. The new covenant is above the law. It fulfills the law. And it brings about a new law of grace, mercy, and forgiveness. But you have guessed it. This picture of gold covered the whole of the inner walls and the ceiling of the Holy of Holies, as was the Ark of the Covenant covered in gold. Jesus, this picture is declaring that Jesus is God. He has come to earth. He is the King of Kings. He's the Lord of Lords. And he brings a new government, a new law, and a new manifesto to earth. Amen. If I wasn't a pastor, I would have been a politician. And if I wasn't a politician, I would have been a school teacher. Amen. So Jesus is God. The picture of gold, that picture of the Holy of Holies covered in gold, is the place where God dwelt. It's a picture that Jesus is the real one. The King has come to earth. Hallelujah. And then secondly, you know this. What's that? Shout it out. Frankincense. I was always taught they bought gold, frankincense, and then myrrh. There is an order for this. First, he's the King of Kings. And second, they gave frankincense. And frankincense is a hard aromatic gum from the bark of trees. It has a strong and aromatic fragrance. And frankincense was used in the ceremonial worship of a deity. It was burnt in Judaism in the temple in the altar of incense, and it was deemed to be pure and holy. It is a picture of praise to deity. So in bringing frankincense to Jesus, they are recognizing him as a deity. Now, a deity is simple, just means God. They are recognizing him as the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, fulfilling everything that the temple of God through Judaism says he is, and then bringing in this new covenant that we live in. Thank God for that. Amen. Jesus, this is a picture of Jesus leading a pure and a holy life, dedicated and offered to God. You know, many people get confused by who is Jesus. Jesus, when he was a human being, the best way to communicate with a human being is to do it yourself, lead by example. So Jesus came as a human being. He left all the knowledge, not his person, his character, but the knowledge in heaven. He humbled himself, became one of us. And he walked a walk of faith. He walked a walk. He only did what his father, he heard God telling him to do. And that's a picture for us. That's how we are supposed to live. Jesus demonstrated it, and it can be done. Jesus did it, and we can do it also. Jesus was sinless, and he led a pure and holy life. And then finally, the third and nearly final thing is this. They bought myrrh. Myrrh. There's a church in Revelation called Smyrna. 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 And Smyrna means crushed myrrh. There's a church called Crushed Myrrh. And myrrh is a very, very hard substance. It also comes from trees. And it was used as a perfume and as an anointing oil. Myrrh is that hard, you have to smash it and you have to grind it to get the perfumes and the oils out of it. And the picture of myrrh is a picture of Jesus the King being rejected by men, being crushed and smashed in his death on the cross. It is a picture of the wonderful Holy Spirit oils that come out that actually can save humanity, but myrrh was also used in the anointing of dead bodies. So we have the King, who was pure and holy, is going to be smashed for the sins of the world, but the pure perfume and oils of who he is going to rise from the dead and give us life. Amen. People don't like, well, I don't know. I mean, I like discussing religion, but maybe it's my career. I also like discussing politics, but that can be really, really dangerous. The number of times I've tried to cancel my Facebook account so I'm not tempted to put any comments, and you can't get rid of it. They won't let you cancel it. You go through the process and you hit cancel, it says, sorry, you timed out. You weren't quick enough. Better luck next time. You can't get rid of it. So the temptation is always there. And sometimes I fail. And I hope none of you are my Facebook friends. There might be one or two. Oh, there's one or two. Anyway, people do not like really discussing religion and politics. And yet Jesus is the most religious and political person who has ever lived. But the difference is this. Jesus has bought us true religion. True religion, a religion that comes by faith in Jesus the Savior, not by works, because none of us can do it. And Jesus has brought true politics. And what was his politics? What was his manifesto in a sentence? It's this. And Mary did it, and Elizabeth did it, and I hope you and I are doing it. This is Jesus' mandate, that we are to love God with body, soul, and spirit, and we are to love our neighbors as ourselves. On this, every law of God hangs. What a great manifesto. A manifesto of love and of respect. But it can only flow from our love of God first. When we love God first, we love ourselves. And if we truly love ourselves, we'll love other people. That's how it flows. If you love yourself, you'll love another person. If you don't love yourself, you might have a few issues with other people. People rub us up. Well, in fact, I rub myself up the wrong way. Three fingers pointing back at me. This is Jesus' manifesto. Jesus is coming back to bring his true, eternal government. And that's what we celebrate every time in communion. We look to his governmental rule on earth. We put Mary in her rightful place. She worshipped God in body, soul, and spirit. But she needed saving herself. We mustn't elevate her, but we mustn't wipe her out. We have a true look. And as I said at Christmas, we need to put Jesus in his rightful place. Amen. Amen.